Good morning. It's 2nd of April. Our first reading today is Numbers chapter 16, which tells us about the rebellion of Korah, Dathan and Abiram. I'm going to read to you from Brother Harry Whittaker's book, Israel in the Wilderness. And in this section, he concentrates on the aftermath of the rebellion. I read, "It had already been appointed that when the high priest of Israel went into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement, he must do so, wrapped, as it were, in a cloud of incense, lest he be consumed by the very intensity of the glory of the Lord. But now here were foolish egotists appointing themselves as priests before God and burning incense of their own compounding. When the glory of the Lord came upon them as they stood expectant at the door of the tabernacle, their garments of self-satisfaction were as futile as aprons of fig leaves. How could such men expect to live in the presence of the consuming fire of divine glory? After the Holocaust, prompt action. The unhallowed fire and incense must be cleared right away from the holy presence. So, at the commandment of the angel of the Lord, Eleazar, Aaron's eldest surviving son, was bidden empty out the incense in a place without the camp, as though it were so much garbage. The choice of Eleazar for this duty intimated that the office of Aaronic high priest was to be regarded as hereditary. The door to the priesthood was shut forever in the face of rebels of Korah's kind. Even now, judgment was not at an end. The children of Israel, with a monumental perversity, eclipsing any willfulness they had yet achieved, turned on Moses and Aaron, blaming them bitterly for the punishment that had been meted out. As though it were the work of Moses that the earth had opened her mouth and engulfed so many. As though it were by some black magic of Aaron's contriving that the fire had consumed the sons of pride. So again, the glory of the Lord appeared in the pillar of cloud, so that even by day it became a pillar of fire. Again, the peremptory summons was addressed to the two leaders. Get you up from this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And again, Moses and Aaron, putting aside all personal resentment, pleaded the cause of a people who deserved no intercessor. But already, wrath was gone out from the Lord among these murmurers. Intercession of another kind was called for. At Moses' bidding, Aaron took his censer and coals of fire from the altar and holy incense in large handfuls, his action in all respects in striking contrast to that of Korah, and ran with it amongst the assembly of the people, so that they, like the high priest in the Holy of Holies, might be protected by a cloud of incense from the consuming brightness of the divine presence in their midst. Thus he made an atonement, or a covering for them, and stood between the dead and the living. The contrast between the saving power of Aaron's intercession on behalf of others and the ineffectiveness of Korah's squad of priests to save themselves must have been discernible even by the blindness of Israel. Aaron's promptitude stayed the plague when it was scarcely begun. Nevertheless, they that died in the plague were 14,700. Earlier in his writing, Brother Harry draws our attention to Hebrews 5 and verse 4, which I will read to you now from the AV. And no man taketh this honour unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. That was undoubtedly an allusion back to Korah, but the writer to the Hebrews goes on to explain to us that we have a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, who is set on the right hand of the throne of the Majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, and not man. In him and his redemptive work we place all our trust. Thank you for listening.